our Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 16 to 17. And we shall begin this year by looking into this particular passage, Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 16 to 17. And here, God's word says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and seek, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they say, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet, but they say, we will not hearken." The Lord bless the reading of his sacred word. Indeed, how time flies. Yesterday, we are in year 2016. Today is 2017. 1 year has just passed so quickly. And we have entered into another year. And as we have sung just now, God willing, this will be another year of service, another year of learning, another year of walking close to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This year is also a special year. This is also the year of the 30th anniversary of Tabernacle Bible Presbyterian Church. It was founded in the year 1987. And so for this year, we have for our church team holding forth the word of life taken from Philippians chapter 2, verse 16. As you can see, the banner has already changed in front, although the color scheme is about the same, but I hope you notice the words has changed. Right, holding forth the word of life. Yesterday, it was still redeeming the time, right? Because the days were evil, right? In that verse, right, occupy till I come. But now we have this one, holding forth the word of life. And this is a very significant verse. This is the verse that was first preached by the founding pastor of the Bible Presbyterian Church in Singapore, Reverend Timothy Toh, as he began his service as a young pastor in the English service of Life Presbyterian Church. This verse, this sermon, the sermon title was this, Holding Forth the Word of Life. And this continued to be the team verse, the church verse for Life Bible Presbyterian Church, from which, if you study the history of the Singapore Bible Presbyterian Church, it's truly the mother church, because it's from this church from which the Bible Presbyterian movement sprung forth in Singapore. And so as we come this 30th anniversary, we found it necessary to find it good to have this verse as our team verse, because it is something that is very important. Right, holding forth the word of life. And so, God willing, as we go through the entire year, I believe the various fellowship groups have been informed of the verse, right, the theme verse of this year. I believe the various fellowship groups was also planned their program as far as possible to bring out this theme. What it means to hold forth the word of life, because the word of life is really what is essential as we walk in this world of darkness. We should be grounded in the word of truth, in the Holy Scriptures. This is what we should do. It is something that is most basic and most important. It is something that reminds us, right? So this theme, holding forth the word of life, reminds us very much about our goodly and biblical tradition from which Tabernacle BB Church is founded upon. And so as we come into this 30th anniversary with this team, we hope to remember the goodly traditions and things of the past. We want to recount God's goodness and learn from the lessons of history, both of Tabernacle BB Church, as well as the Bible Presbyterian movement, as well as the Reformation, as well as from the time of the Acts of the Apostles, as well as from the entire period of history, biblical history. And from these lessons, we want to learn and we want to abide in the biblical principles that can be learned throughout the things in history. Sadly, we live in a world that seems to despise the lessons of the past. People seem to despise things that are old. The past is often forgotten and the lessons rejected. And as time goes by, people forget the goodly traditions in which a biblical church may have been founded upon, and soon people become proud, people become complacent, people become rebellious, and sometimes a new generation will arise that thinks that they know better than the previous generation. Oh, why must we walk in the ways of the old? Why can't we walk in new ways? Why can't we do things different? And without studying history to understand why things are done in certain ways, without studying the old paths, they go their own way to the hurt and detriment of the church, to the hurt and detriment of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ in the congregation. And this is something that we do not want as we enter into the 30th anniversary. And so therefore, what we have in today's sermon is this title, Walking in the Old Paths, taken from this particular passage in Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 16 to 17. Now, what is the historical context of Jeremiah chapter 6? Now, it is interesting to study what the days are like when Jeremiah spoke these words. Now, Jeremiah, as we know, ministered starting from the time of Josiah. And his ministry was one that was rather long. He lasted through, most agree that he lasted through the entire three deportations of the Jewish people. When did he start ministering? Well, if you look at Jeremiah chapter 1, just put your finger to Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, 17. Just turn very quickly to Jeremiah chapter 1. And look at verses 1 onwards. Right. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 30th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. So you can see when the ministry of Jeremiah started and then how long it lasted. Right now, this is in the beginning of the ministry of Jeremiah. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, and then you will see the call of Jeremiah, and all the way here until Jeremiah chapter 6, you will realize that these words were spoken very close to the beginning of his ministry. Now, so we saw that the beginning of his ministry was in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, which was a good king, and the last good king of Judah, the southern kingdom. Now, and so this would be about 627 BC. Now, what happened in the 12th year of the reign of Josiah? Now, this is the 13th year, right? In the 12th year, in 628 BC, Josiah did something that was very monumental. What he did was that he initiated a religious reformation and he cleansed the temple. Right, there was this religious reformation in Judah. And because this king, Josiah, was so fervent in his walk with the Lord, the Lord says, oh, okay, Judah shall not be destroyed during the time of Josiah. But after his time, destruction shall come. Although there's this reformation, but this reformation came too late. And we will see why. Okay, you will realize that although this reformation occurred, and it may have affected some people, but the general spirit of the time was one that was still very desolate. So this was 628 BC. Jeremiah was called 1 year later, about 627 BC. And then in 626 BC, Babylon began to rebel against Assyria, and this is the start of the Neo-Babylonian period of Nebuchadnezzar. And so this will be the history of Jeremiah chapter 6. Now, it occurred before the first deportation. Take note, the first deportation has not occurred. Okay, first deportation occurred 605 BC. Second deportation, 597 BC. First deportation, 605. Right? Now, in fact, by this time, Babylonians and Medes haven't even captured Assyria, right? The Assyrians were still the main power, right? 612 BC, then Assyrian was destroyed. 605 BC, right? You have the first deportation, Daniel was taken. 597 BC, you have the second deportation, Ezekiel was taken. And then 586 BC, you have the total destruction of Jerusalem. And then you have the third deportation of the Jews. Now, these words, Jeremiah chapter 6, right? Was written before, right, these three deportations have taken place. And so Judah was still standing firm. It was still the reign of Josiah, the 13th year. And yet, look at the words which the Lord of hosts said to the people through Jeremiah. Right, to understand the condition, you look from verse 9 and see what the Lord says, right? Look at verse 9 of Jeremiah chapter 6. Right? Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 9. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall truly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine, turn back thy hand as a gatherer into the basket. Right? So, look, destruction will still come, right? And this was said during the time of Josiah. Like it or not, there's religious reformation, but this destruction will still come because I know the hearts of men. I know the hearts of men. This destruction will come because their hearts are hearts that are far from me. And this destruction is going to be one that is thorough, like someone that goes through the grape harvest and make sure every single grape is plucked out of the vine. Because to whom am I speaking these words? To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. So in other words, although there is this religious reformation that may be going on during the time of Josiah, because Josiah was truly a king that was very sincere in following God, but the generous spirit of the nation is still one that is hardened, is still one that despises the word of God. They do not want to hear. Well, they may have accepted the religious reformation because Josiah was king, right? Who wants to go against the king? You go against the king, is something that is not good for you. It's not wise. And so they listen. But by and large, God knew the heart of these people that they still hated his word. They were a people that found God's word a reproach. They had no joy in the word of God. And so therefore, God was very angry. He declared destruction to the children, to the men, to the women, and not just the men, but men of all ages, the young men and also the aged men. And then he explained in verse 13 why this was so. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. You see that? You talk about the prophet. You talk about the priest. Now, the priests, they were supposed to be the ones who will teach the word of God to the people. But they dealt with the word of God in a very corrupt manner for their own gain. And so, therefore, the Lord had to send prophets. But then there were also many of these false prophets who were around now. The prophets were supposed to function as people who were admonished to warn and to rebuke the people. But these prophets, instead of warning, instead of admonishing the people, instead of rebuking them of their sin, these prophets also dealt falsely with the people. So everybody was corrupt, including those who were religious leaders. And how did they deal falsely? Well, verse 14. They have healed unto the hurt of the people, of the daughter of my people, slightly. Right, so they try to heal. Right, they try and put a band-aid. But you try and put a band-aid when it's not a cut. You try and put a band-aid when it is serious and deep wound. Well, how much will you heal? It will not help at all. This is far deeper. This is a cancer. You try and heal the cancer by putting a band-aid or a placebo. You know, sometimes there's this people who promote fake medicine, right? You know, sometimes people, you know, are very scared to go for operation or to see the doctor, and so they go online and then they search for natural causes. Now, a natural healing. Now, natural healing, fine. I know there are people who are the genuine practitioners of natural healing, but there are also those charlatans that are out there. And so these charlatans try and sell their placebo products. You know, so they sell you some gel or whatever, and then you put this gel or you put this plaster, and then they say, well, the healing goes very fast. But actually, it's just a placebo effect. For a while, you think that you're all right. And then after that, you realize that actually, day by day, things are getting worse. You're not getting better because you have not been eating the right medicine. Now, these false prophets, they are like this. False teachers, they are like this. False priests. And how did they do so? Well, they told the people, peace, peace, when there is no peace. The Lord already said, destruction is coming. Destruction will surely come. But they say, no problem, destruction will not come. And even later on, when Jeremiah was ministering, they even tried to shorten the days of captivity. Right? Well, Jeremiah says 70 years. Well, many came and then they tried to shorten the years of captivity. Some say no captivity. Some say whatever number they will say. And in fact, when Jeremiah declared that there will be captivity, destruction will surely come, they say, oh, he is a traitor to the nation. He is spreading hate literature. Sound familiar? This is hate literature, hate speech. Well, there is no love in his words. Lock him up, imprison him, whip him, destroy him. Well, this was the spiritual condition at that time. And they were not ashamed of this spiritual condition. And so therefore the Lord gave this command. Walk ye in the old paths, walk therein. Right? This command. This command was not given in a time whereby people were godly, people were fervent for the Lord. Now, of course, right, during times where people are walking close to the Lord, they should keep on walking right, close to the Lord. But this command to walk in the old paths was given in a time whereby there was great spiritual desolation. And in some sense, this really reflects the times that we live in, isn't it? The times that we live in, is it not a time of great spiritual desolation? You just look at the church today. Is the church very healthy? Or is it full of false doctrine, false practices, false teachers, false prophets? No, just yesterday, during the Watch Night service, we heard about how the charismatic movement was infiltrating the churches. And then you have people who now promote not just the health and wealth gospel, but this kind of positive thinking. Oh, think positively and everything will be well in your life. No talk about the gospel, no talk about sin, and no talk about the real way of salvation. Oh, salvation is health and wealth. Salvation is positive thinking. But they will not talk about sin, the need for people to repent from their sin because judgment is coming. And they will not point to people to the Lord Jesus Christ, that only in the Lord Jesus Christ is there salvation. That you must believe that the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth and that he lived for you and that he died for you on the cross, shedding his precious blood and then was buried. And then on the third day, he rose again from the dead. They won't declare this truth. They keep quiet and they tell people, oh, all is all right with your life. You believe in all these doctrines, which are nothing but false doctrines, false theories. They are placebo medications intending to fool the people, thinking that all is all right in my life. And sometimes these people really become rich and he thinks that all is all right in my life, all is all right in my soul, when nothing is fine. Everything is, in fact, heading towards disaster and tragedy. Such is the spirit of the times today. And it is in such times of great deception, that the Lord has also called us this same command. Dear children of God, you better take heed and walk in the old ways. This was the reason why the Bible Presbyterian movement was founded in the first place, isn't it? You study the history, you will realize that the Bible Presbyterian movement was founded in a time whereby people denied the miracles of the Bible. People were trying to say that the Bible was not God's word, or there was mistakes in God's word. And this stand was taken. We must not forget. Has the times changed? No. It's still perilous times. In fact, things are only getting worse, as you heard in the message last week. In fact, the one world system is already here, but in some sense, the one world system is also building up and coming. It is surely coming, because that's what the scriptures declared in God's word. You see, Revelation chapter 13, you see how the world of the Antichrist shall be like. Now, of course, if you are a true believer, and if you hold on to the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, you will not need to go through it. But that does not mean the world will not build up to be what it will be like in Revelation chapter 13. So we need to discern the times. We need to see that these are evil and wicked times. And it's in times such as this, whereby the Lord says, you better walk. It's a command down here. See. Right, stand, see, ask, and then walk. All these are commands. You better walk in these old paths. You better not forget. You better stick close to these goodly and biblical traditions in which your forefathers have walked in. You do not depart from them. Firstly, the way to do so, you stand. You stand in the ways. Now this, so the whole idea here will be, you know, you examine all the, you know, these ways will be the things that have occurred in history. You stand in the ways. You observe what is happening down here. You stand. You see what is happening in the nation, all the ways of the people. You stand and then you see. Right, stand and then you observe, you see. And then you ask, you inquire, right? That's the meaning of the word ask. You inquire for the old paths, or the paths of old. And here the word paths is a different word from the word ways. It talks about, you know, ways or roads which people have treaded on, and then now there is this clearly delineated path that is formed. Like, for example, I remember last time before, in the old days, where people used to want to walk to FEBC. The time Newton still, the downtown line is still not there. And before even the downtown line construction occurs, you know, what you will see is, I do not know whether you will see this path. It's not a concrete path. It's a grass patch that is brown, yellow, and it's formed on the ground. Why? Because people always walk this grass patch as a shortcut to quickly go to the traffic light, to cross the road to reach the other side, to reach Gilstead Road. Then after a while, the downtown line construction began. And so that grass patch was taken up. So it left with another grass patch. So no more grass patch, right? So everybody needed another shortcut. So people started to walk on another patch of grass. At first, you cannot see the path clearly, but soon people begin to walk, and soon you'll see another yellow path happening, dry up now. That will be called a path, because people keep walking in that path, right? Now, this will be the word path down here. It has that kind of picture. And so it will talk about how the forefathers of the Jews, they have walked in the past, they have treaded in the past. These were the old paths of history. You go, you stand, you look at what is happening down here, you observe what is happening down here, and then you go and inquire of what has happened in biblical history, what has happened in the history of the fathers. And then you make sure that you walk in this old paths, but not in all of the old paths. Take note. Not in all of the old paths, but the old paths where it is described as the good way. So not all that is old is good. No, please take note. Not all that is old is good. Because if you study the history of the children of Israel, you will realize that very often the children of Israel also walk wickedly against the Lord. Right? There will be this good and godly generation that came about, but very soon the people take for granted the good and godly heritage, and then they become, they thought that, oh, well, we are in this land because we are more righteous, we are in this land because of our own intellect, our own wisdom, our own strength. And then after that, they begin to become spiritually complacent, they begin to become rebellious, they begin to become wicked, and then you will realize in that particular area of history, they begin to do what is right in their own eyes. That was all the things that have happened in the past. Now you study what has happened in the past. That which is evil, you better reject. You better don't follow. But you better follow what that is good. And you realize that where is the good way? The word way there is not written in plural, right? Because you talk about ask for the old paths, where is the good way? You see that? Old paths. Paths is plural. Right? These are the various ways, right? Various paths in which, in history, the forefathers of the Jews have treaded upon. But not every path in which the fathers have tread upon is good. There are some which are paths which are evil, there are some paths which are good. But all the good paths can be summarized under this one word called the good way. Singular. Why singular? Because you will realize that all these good paths which the Father has tread upon is founded in the good way, and there is only one good way, and that one good way is the good way of the Holy Scriptures, the good way of truth, the good way of righteousness, the good way of God. That is the one and only way in which a Christian should walk, and that was the exhortation by God to the people in those days. Walk in that one and goodly way. The way of the Holy Scriptures. The way of the Bible. You better hold forth the word of life. In other words, that is the way. Do not depart from the word. The word hold forth is a very rich word. It not only talks about holding out, but it firstly has the picture of holding on to something and then clinging on so strongly unto it, and then after that, making use of what is in the grasp of your hand. So firstly, you hold on to the word of life. And then after that, you make sure that you believe in the word of life, and then you study it, and then you make sure you live it out. And that is what it means, holding forth the word of life. And that is the good way in which you should abide. Study the biblical histories and see for yourself how in those days when your fathers walked in the pathways of the Holy Scriptures, when they follow the law of God, did I not bless them richly? Do you not see the goodness to God's goodness to the ancestors? Walk in those pathways. Do not forsake them. For when you do so, you shall find rest for your souls. Well, majority of the people, they are not even believers. In fact, it was a time of great apostasy in those days, just like it's a great time of increasing apostasy in the church today. In those days, great apostasy in the land of Judah. If only they would go back to the word of God, to believe in God and His word, and to find salvation in Him, or they will have rest for their souls. And they will continue to find great blessing as they walk with Him. If only they would. Study the biblical narratives of before and learn from them. So same with regards to us also, isn't it? We need to walk in this paths, in these old paths, but not just any of the old paths, but in the good old paths, which is defined by the word, the good way. These good all pubs, all founded upon the Holy Scriptures, based upon biblical principles. What is bad, we reject. What is good, we follow, and we carry on in it. We do not depart from them. And the way to do it, firstly, we better make sure we study the goodly traditions of the past. How can we walk in the good old path if first we do not stand and see and then ask for them, do not inquire of them? So we should study history. Firstly, right, study, right, since this is a Bible Presbyterian history, since we are Bible Presbyterian, we should study Bible Presbyterian history, right? So, yes, do we have the resources for that? We do, right? Well, we have, well, down here, the Singapore BP history, a book written by Reverend Toh. Another one more, the story of the Bible Presbyterian faith. And then not only just that. And then we have this one, Son of the Mother's Vow, right? This is the biography of Reverend Timothy Toh. You like it or not, you have to study him because he is the founding pastor of the Bible Presbyterian movement. Another book that is important to read will be Footsteps in the Sands of Time by Dr. Toh Siang Hua. Right? Also ought to be read. And study and learn this history. But not only just that, but also Bible Presbyterian. Right? Because we are fundamentalists, right? We are fundamentalists, we are also related to the Bible Presbyterian movement that first happened in America, so we should read books that deals with them, right? Our roots come from this person, McIntyre. Right? This was the teacher of Reverend Toh. McIntyre, defender of faith and freedom. And this is a surprisingly very fairly written autobiography of McIntyre. And you will see a lot of his strengths. You will also see his faults, written by somebody who really knows and worked closely with him, not like some of the newspapers in America who by that time, by the end of his life, were actually not even believing in the Bible. Well, this is one good book, McIntyre, Defender of Faith and Freedom. And then you have books like this. This is In Pursuit of Purity. This talks about the history of American fundamentalism. And then also, right, also study church history. Right? This is one book on the Reformation, right, this Reformation Sketches. This is another book. This one is Christianity Through the Centuries. Well, this is really church history in a nutshell, textbook. This is the one of the textbooks which FEBC student used to use. Of course, maybe a little biased in some parts, but by and large, a good book of good facts of church history. And then you read and then you learn. But most importantly, when we study about history, well, we cannot evaluate all this history, whether the history of the Bible, Singapore Bible Presbyterian movement, or the Bible Presbyterian movement at large, or fundamentalism, or the Reformation, or church history, without first studying this book. You better study this book. This is the most important book to study, right? You need to stand, you need to see, and you need to inquire of this book and study this book very diligently. Biblical history, the Bible. Because right, when we ask of the path, when we inquire of it, we also need to discern. Right, discern what is good, what is evil, and what is the standard by which we evaluate what is good and evil. Well, none other than the Word of God. We must study the Word of everlasting life. The Word of Truth, biblical history, right? And so study, right, from the very beginning, from the book of Genesis, and then study. Well, the book of Genesis is going to be taught at the night classes on Monday, right? God willing, starting next week, Monday, right? And Genesis, we go and study, and then study, and then learn Old Testament history, New Testament history, and then learn the various lessons that you can learn from them, and then and then also study the Bible in terms of epistles, the doctrines, and whatever, and then evaluate and learn the lessons of history and see how people in the past has lived their lives. What is evil, we better reject. What is good, we better follow. And the old paths which are good, we better walk in them. Right, so, yes, when we talk about walking the old paths, please take note. It's not just walking any of the old paths. No, you walk in old paths, the old paths are bad. Well, you say this is tradition, but no, if the tradition is not based upon the Bible, is evil, then don't follow. But if the tradition is good, then why reject? Oh, you say, okay, change the tradition, change, and then is the new practice something that is biblical? Now, of course, it doesn't mean new. Right? Anything that is new is bad also. Now, we're not talking about new doctrine. Okay, new doctrine, of course, should be rejected. There's no such thing as new doctrine. Right? All the doctrines that we need to know is here. Right? All given by God. But we're talking about something that is new in terms of method. Well, it's not necessarily something that is bad. In fact, something that is new can be a very necessary and lively expression of what it means to walk in the old paths. Right? You take, for example, in the past, if you live in the early 1900s, there's no such thing called the internet, right? So people publish books, they write. Now in our age, we have the internet. And so the church now has a website. Should we say that, in the past, they only wrote books, you know? Walk in the old paths, should not have the internet. Right? You cannot put up a website. No, of course not, isn't it? Right? In this age, there is this new media which we can utilize to share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we ought to have a website. And in fact, there are many visitors that come into this congregation simply because they click on the Tabernacle website. They heard. They enjoy good and biblical preaching, and so therefore they are here. Another example of this can be found in your church weekly. I don't know whether you have noticed that there's something different in the church weekly today. You turn to the cover page. Do you see something different? You see a church logo, right? You see that? New one. Tabernacle Bible Presbyterian Church. Now, why was this done? Well, this was done because along the way, the session realized that we probably needed a church logo, especially when you want to have a seal or something like that onto a letter, and then you print, you only have Tabernacle Bible Presbyterian Church in words. Well, like that, anybody can just produce letters purporting to be from Tabernacle. So therefore, important to have a church logo, to have a seal. But then you look at the design of the church logo. Do you notice that the emphasis is where? Not so much on the tabernacle, right? You realize it is, well, although it's there because we are tabernacle. Not a building, not a church, but purposely a tent because we are Tabernacle BB Church. But you realize that the emphasis is on the T, which is also looks like a cross, right? And why is that the case? Allow me to read from history, okay? The Singapore BP story, page 195. And God willing, I hope this year there will also be many opportunities to share not only about the roots of the Singapore BP faith, but God willing, as we get closer to anniversary, we will see various testimonies about what has happened in the past. But here, wow, Tabernacle, by page 195, right, written by Reverend Toh. A group of young Christians led by Jonathan Chan assembled weekly as Tangling Bible Class. And when they shifted to meet at Life Church, they became known as Life Bible Class. In 1986, the Life Bible Class leadership felt led to incorporate as a branch of Life Church. They found an ideal meeting place in the warehouse of Life Book Center at Tampines. The pastor named the new branch Tabernacle to remind the young people of their being pilgrims, not having a permanent home. So that's the reason why a Tabernacle is called Tabernacle, because At the point of time, no permanent home. It still remains true today. Tabernacle. Okay, so the first T, the first reason, tabernacle T, right, is to mean tabernacle, right? Then here he says, since tabernacle begins with T. Okay, so the first T means tabernacle, but since tabernacle begins with T, it also brings to mind their early beginnings as Tangling Bible Class. So this T that is emphasized down there has many meanings. Now, firstly, tabernacle, yes, but also reminds of history, the goodly tradition of Tangling Bible Class. Now, how many down here from Tangling Bible Class? Raise your hand. Original, you see, in front has two. Some more? Come on, they're all shy. Many more, but their hands are only halfway. Okay, well, I think you all know who they are. Tangling Bible Class. I started from a group of people who wanted to, started from Donald Church Chan, and then others, wanted to, to share about the good news of Jesus Christ and wanted to study more of the Bible, and then they gathered together. And then from here sprung this Bible class, which later became Live Bible Class, which later went to Tampines, used the warehouse of Live Book Center, and then that from there, Tabernacle Bible Presbyterian Church was formed, inaugurated 28th of June 1987. That's why this year is 30th anniversary. 28th of June 1987, our goodly traditions. And so and that's why you look at the logo, the T. Well, T for Tangling Bible Class, T for Tabernacle Bible Presbyterian Church, but also it is a cross, because the church must always have Christ as its center, Christ as its focus. And that's why the T is bold, to remind us of this fact. Never forgot, forgotten. Now, when Reverend Toh writes his sermons, he often have a cross on the right side of the envelope to remind him that every sermon preached must exalt Christ. Well, this one is not on the right side, but it's on the left side. But he also reminds, every time pick up the weekly, Christ must be the focus. So I think it's most excellent, and thank God for that he has led the one who has designed the logo to design this with much wisdom. So, yes, new expression, but very much walking in the old paths, which we must not forget. We must not forget. And if we walk, we will find good rest for us. So continue in these good traditions. Do not forget. And make sure always have Christ at the focus, and always must study his word. And so we thank God that many are now attending not only the fellowship groups and the Bible studies conducted by Tabernacle, but they also go to the night classes conducted by FEBC. I also heard that some young people may be intending to go even for the day classes until they start their tertiary studies. Well, this is very good. Continue. This is called walking in good paths. But make sure don't just study, but make sure we study, we believe in what we are studying, and then we obey, we walk, right? Because walking is not just studying, right? That only deals with the asking part, but make sure you live it out in your lives. And that really is covered by the whole word, holding forth. Right? And we do that, great blessing. But if we do not do that, what happened? Well, you look at the time of the age. This was told to them, right? But the general tenor, the general spirit of the nation was, we will not walk therein. And this is a very forceful statement. We will absolutely not even consider walking in it. In other words, they don't even want to hear God's word. They don't even want to begin to contemplate walking in the good way of the Holy Scripture. What about the old paths? We are not interested to know about the old paths. We are new generation, a new way of worship, new way of doing things. We do not want to follow the Holy Scriptures. We want to do it our way. We want to worship Jehovah our way. We don't want to consider what the faithful fathers of old have taught us concerning God's word. We will not walk therein. And even though the Lord have continued to set watchmen over them, And what is a watchman for? Well, a watchman is supposed to scan the horizon, and then when war is impending, he's supposed to sound the alarm. War is coming! War is coming! He will sound the war horn. Get ready for battle! Danger is here. In fact, that is the word trumpet. The word trumpet here is the word shofar, right? A war horn. But instead of hearkening and paying attention, it's just the shofar. And that is how they treated many of the faithful prophets, including Jeremiah. Later on, well, this warning was sound. It's just the shofar. Don't care. We continue to live. It will not come true. It's just empty talk. And very much like the times. And very often, this warning goes out. We live in perilous times. We live whereby danger can easily creep into the church and danger can easily creep into your lives. This is a extremely dangerous times where the whole world system is warring for the souls of men. For those who have not believed, to try and prevent them from knowing the truth of God's word. And for those who know the truth, to seek to tear them away from the Holy Scriptures so that the testimony of Christ is compromised, is corrupted, is destroyed. And this warning is sound. But then we who, and especially in Singapore where things are so comfortable, it's just the shofar. It's just, it's usual. This warning is always sound. It's usual. And then instead of checking our life to see whether we are walking in the good way, we are walking in the good of paths, we let complacency creep into our lives. Just follow the crowd. This whole world talks about money. This whole world talks about trying to climb up the corporate ladder. We just follow, and then we just go through the various activities of the day, not even thinking whether or not we are truly walking in the good old paths. And when we do not consider, we do not examine our lives, whether we are walking according to the scriptures, whether we are walking in the way where initially Tabernacle BB Church first started, and I believe when Tabernacle BB Church first started, it was started with much zeal and much love for God and the Holy Scriptures. And then we go about now, after 30 years, if we go about now, we say, yes, hooray, now this is 30 years anniversary. Or we can go about celebrating an anniversary, we can have the dinner and everything, or we can even come up with a magazine, or whatever we do. But in our actual lives, we are not abiding according to what Tabernacle BB Church was founded upon the Bible, founded upon good and godly traditions. We don't abide by them. Then all these things are useless. And when we examine our lives, we find that we are in fact further away from God than what it was like before. Then we are just like the people in those days where we are saying to God, yes, thank you for telling me I should walk in the good old paths, but we will not walk therein. I will absolutely not listen. And then whatever watchman that is sent, whatever warning that is given from the Holy Scriptures, Jesus Christ is coming, the coming one world system. You look, the world is going more and more evil, and finally the Antichrist shall come. Oh yes, I know all these things, the warning signs are out, but it's just the shofar. Let me continue with my very comfortable life in Singapore, thinking that everything is right with my soul. Everything is right with my testimony. That is the worst thing that can happen in the 30th anniversary of Tabernacle Bible Presbyterian Church. We cannot let that happen. So we must go back. We must make sure. This call to walk in the old paths, we must take it. It is a command. It is not an option. We must make sure that we also know how to walk in these good old paths. We must make sure we stand, observe the ways that are happening in the world, to discern very carefully, and then evaluate it based upon the Holy Scriptures. What is right? What is wrong? Study biblical history. Learn the lessons from it. And then apply into our own lives. Make sure we walk in them fervently with great love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that would make the 30th anniversary of year of Tabernacle Bible Presbyterian Church very, very meaningful, because it will be a year that is lived out for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby everybody is truly just like what it was in the beginning in the Bible Presbyterian Church, where everybody was exhorted to hold forth the word of everlasting life. Every single member here is also holding forth the word of everlasting life to the glory of God's name. May this be a very blessed 2017 for everybody here in the congregation to the glory of God. Blessed New Year. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, O Lord God Almighty, how we thank Thee for the reminder in Thy word that we should always abide in the good old paths, in the good way of the Holy Scriptures, the good way of truth, the good way of righteousness, the good way of Christ. O Lord God in heaven, help us never to forget, and that truly in our lives we will continue to be molded to be more like our Savior. And how we pray that truly we, in this congregation, we will continue to be a beacon of light for Thee, that the gospel may continue to be preached, that sinners may continue to be converted by Thy word, by the Holy Spirit, that truly the saints may be built up in the most holy faith. And so, Lord God in heaven, we commit our lives into Thy hands. This year of 2017, may it not be in vain for Thee. May every second, every moment be used to promote Thy name, Thy word, Thy banner, and that we will be faithful soldiers of Christ Jesus. So hear our humble cry and continue to sustain us by thy grace, by Thy rich mercies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.